وبعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب، أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان، فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم. This is a month that Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has put so many things of great, great virtue all together for us. And then all the value of the virtue, Allah has increased it also. Really, we should try and think, meditate, what a great month Allah Ta'ala has given us. Firstly, the month of Ramadan is such a blessed month of barakat, month of rahmat, month of Allah's forgiveness, one month in which Allah increases our sustenance, physical, bodily, what we eat also, and our spiritual sustenance also. Allah gives us such great opportunity. It's a month that we can change our lives forever. It's a month we can make our jannat in this month. What and what Allah hasn't given in this month. Then it is also during the day, as long as a person is fasting, his du'as, a fasting person's du'as are readily accepted by Allah Ta'ala. And at the time of iftari, that's again now a very special time when du'as, so many du'as, occasions of du'as. Then as soon as it's Maghrib time, sunset, then Allah's rahmat increases. In the nights of Ramadan, Allah comes much more closer. His mercy increases tremendously. So du'as are accepted now at night also. So 24 hours in this month, du'a, it's an occasion for du'as also. And then Allah Ta'ala has made this great arrangement that the shayateen, the rebellious ones, Allah has chained them also, so that they do not interfere in our rozas. And we see this so evidently, that a person, everyone turns a better leaf in Ramzan. For those who are pious, try and become more pious. Those who are less pious, also try and become more. Those who are not pious, they also in Ramzan become regular with their namazes, roza, and the very effect of the shaitan being chained, that roza is not easy. Hey, many of us know we try and keep out of Ramadan. We keep the 30 of Ramadan. Now what's difficult in keeping 6? But many of us, the one also is difficult. Somehow we try, we have good intention, we want to keep, but we get punctured in that first roza. We don't have courage to keep the second one also. But in Ramzan, it's easy. Women folk who have to miss their rozas during the month of Ramadan, and they have to keep the qazas, they also, they find it so hard to keep those qazas, which are faras also. But in Ramzan, it's easy, so easy, that small children are keeping roza. 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, they also are keeping roza. And if they don't wake them up for sehri, they become very angry and cross also. So this is the barakat of this month, and that the shayateen are removed. How many people who are addicted to their TV, in this month they don't watch their TV. How many people who are addicted to their liquor, but in this month they stay away. And there are those who still drink, but they won't drink in public. And the barakat of this month, in one of the provinces of our country, many years ago, one person had a brothel, Shabeen, that he used to run, Muslim men. But it was, his patrons were usually the local people. But come Ramadan, he shouldn't keep roza, no namaz, nothing. But his brothel is closed. His shabeen is closed. His patrons used to insist on him that we need all this, and we can't do without it. And you open it. But he refused. And his maut came in Ramzan on a Thursday night. Just for respecting the month of Ramadan. So, by Allah, ni'mal qadirin. Allah appreciates every small little thing. Allah is shakur. Shakur, to be thankful. For what must Allah be thankful? What can anyone, the whole world together, what can they do? One small bit for Allah Ta'ala. Whatever we do also is by the tawfiq of Allah. It's not from our side. It's like the husband gives the wife an allowance, she buys a present for him from there. He gets so happy, you bought me a present. But he gave her the money, it's not her money. Or many other cases, what can the creation do for Allah Ta'ala? But Allah Ta'ala appreciates whatever little is done for Allah. And Allah doesn't just appreciate, the best of appreciators is Allah Ta'ala. And also the meaning of shakur, the ulama have written, الذي يعطي الأجر الجزيل على العمل القليل, who gives a huge reward on a small amal. In that we should also remember that we try and read after what our other du'as that we make, whatever amal, سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. The barakat of reading this du'a, any small amal also, it will be made so big that the normal scale on the day of Qiyamah won't be sufficient to weigh his deeds. A special scale have to be ordered to weigh his deeds. And if we read it with all our a'mal, and a small a'mal like, it comes in the hadith sharif, that there's some dirt in the masjid, a piece of grass, anything, a person picks it up, then this is presented to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The small a'mal is also presented to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in the manaqib of Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi, it is written, he also had this habit, that any small pieces of the twigs or grass, he should pick it up. So keep so this is presented. And the small amal also we read, Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun, till the end, it will be made so big that a huge scale will have to be brought. And the big amal, this is not even in nafil, it isn't in mustahab also. Just a small little amal, but what great reward. So anyway, so the du'as are readily accepted by Allah Ta'ala. So, and then again, at sehri time, the whole day your du'as are accepted. Iftari time, specially your du'as are accepted. And then the whole night the du'as are accepted. Again at the end of sehri time, those du'as at that time again are very readily accepted. So we can change the tables in the world with our du'as, which Allah has given us. And the du'a is a weapon of a believer. Such a weapon that once one of the great buzurgs, who is the author of Mulla Jeevan. He had a little small hut, you know, he lived a buzurg, simple little dwelling. The king of the time wanted to build a road from there. So he was going to demolish his hut and everything. Just like today, the road people, when they plan a road, then nobody can come in their way. Everyone has to give way for that road. So anyway, so he was informed by somebody that the king is going to be building a road from here and they're going to demolish your hut, your house, your little structure. So he told his khadim that bring our weapons. When he'll come with all his bulldozers and everything, and they'll come and they'll bulldoze everything and break it down, so bring my weapons. The khadim also understood. He was staying with his sheikh, what the weapons of the sheikh, what his weapons are. So he brought his miswak, he brought his lota, and he brought his musalla, that he's going to make wuzu, and now he'll pick up his hands. So when the news got to the king, he diverted the road, that in front of him we cannot stand, because when Allah's help, dua is the weapon of a mu'min, and this weapon is with you, and dua is such a weapon also, Allahu Akbar, that you just our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to explain that dua is that which Allah has given us, that you beg of Allah Ta'ala. And just like a beggar, you should beg. But a beggar has got his begging bowl. And a professional beggar, he begs from 9 in the morning or till 5 in the afternoon. He got his hours also set. And he got his place also where he begs is set also. And he begs, and then when he's finished, he goes and counts his money. That how much have I got today? In fact, one instance is written of a person in South India, Madras, a lawyer by profession. He was he had his office in some third, fourth floor of a building. And every time when he should come out, go in, he saw on the street there was a beggar who was begging. And he had a particular way of begging. He used to beg and say, do roti ke paise de do. Aadmi bhuka hai, that a person is hungry, give me money for two rotis. People feel pity, two rotis, let a man eat his stomach, I'll get so lot sawab. And then he was blind. So when he estimates that the person is gone out of earshot, he can't hear, then he put that money in his pocket and he starts again. Whole day he doesn't go and buy two rotis. He's only begging for two rotis and whole day he's begging. So then one day this lawyer thought, what is this man? What does he do? This incident starts there where at a supermarket somebody saw this lawyer with a string around his neck and a little bowl. And his hands in the bowl. So he asked him, what is this? You walking around like this? He says, yeah, in the supermarket you ask me. There is a long story. I can't tell you. Come home over tea. I will explain to you. Then he explained all this. So the lawyer one day decided to follow him. So he saw when he's completed his begging, his day's work is finished, then he used to go out in the jungle and there was a small little hut where he used to stay. He went in and then he peeped from the window crevice that what is he doing. He saw that under the mat or whatever he had set, he opened it and there was all his safe where he kept his money. And he started counting all his money and he started putting it properly, notes, the big notes, all the different denominations, the coins, everything. Closed it up and again he should go and sleep and next day go and beg again. So the lawyer thought, something came in his mind, let me take away this money of his. So he took the money away when that, and he followed him the next day again. A huge amount it was. He followed him again. When he opened, he saw his money is gone. So he started cursing the person who stole my money. So the lawyer was there. He told him, I took your money. You don't have to curse me. Why are you living like this all alone on your own? You're suffering. You're begging every day. Come with, stay with me. You'll get your food, you'll stay comfortably. He says, that I can't do. My profession is begging. I'm an ardent beggar. I was born a beggar, I'll die a beggar. He says, but come and stay by me. You'll stay, you can carry on with your begging if you want to. So he went, he stayed there, he gave him his money back, everything. So then he kept on begging every day. One day, the lawyer asked him, now, you haven't got any expenses. You're just begging, making all your money. What must I do when you'll die one day? Then what must I do with this money? So you must bury it with me in my grave. So because it's mine. So then the time came, he died, and they buried him. And he also, the lawyer told him that they are poor people, why don't you help them? He said, did I make them poor? Who made them poor, he must see to them. Allah Ta'ala. He said, they are hungry people. He said, I made them hungry. And who made them hungry, he must see to them, this is my money. And he was buried with me. So when he died, they buried him with it. And then life carried on. After about 6 months, this lawyer had bought a certain property and he had to pay installments on it. And he ran short of money. So he thought, there is that money, it's just lying there for nothing. Let me go and collect it, I'll replace it again once I'm again all right. But now I need it to pay this amount. So he went, when he tried to put his hand on the money, he got an electric shock. Such a shock, and that money was all again on the body of that person. Hit against in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala, يَوْمَ يُحْمَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَزُهُورُهُمْ. What that money which you didn't give your zakat on, etc., Allah will take it and hit it on your forehead, on your sides. And then the ulama say the reason for that is the rich people, when a poor person come or a collector for madrasas, masjids, etc., the first thing they get is a frown on the forehead, that these people came again. They are begging again, so that money will be put onto their hit, smited onto their forehead. Then a person, the next thing he does, he turns around to go away. And he tells his secretary or workers, you must tell them the boss is not here. So he showed him his side. So because of that, this side or that side. And when he turned around, he's back. So all that will be smited with that money. So anyway, so he got a, like say, this is the story. So a professional beggar, in any case, he's got his time for begging. And we are beggars of Allah, which Allah Ta'ala says, Ya Yuhannas Antumul Fuqara Ilallah. That, O people, you are fuqara, you are beggars. And this is Jumla Ismiya, which denotes to continuity. That you are continuous beggars. You don't only, that you haven't got your time 9 to 5 or something. You are 24 hours beggars of Allah. And you are such beggars of Allah that you are beggars of everything. Your body, you have to beg for your eyesight, for your brains to be in order, for your back to be in order, your heart to be in order. Around you, the air, the living conditions, water, you are beggars of Allah. Allah can, this water of ours, Allah can make it bitter anytime. This, in the air, poison can come in the air. How many people, where there are chemical weapons used, the people breathe in those gases, and then they die of that. We are in need of that. The earth, that it remains firm, it's not shaking. It can happen anywhere. It's not only a place that is prone to earthquakes, etc. Anywhere it can happen. Volcanoes can come. Fightings between people can start at any time, anywhere. We are all the time in dependent. So we are total 24 hour beggars. So that beggar, he begs 9 to 5 and he puts his begging bowl in the shelf. Because now he's finished begging. But we are beggars 24 hours. So Allah gave us our begging bowl also. And that begging bowl, Allah didn't tell us to put it in the shelf. Keep it with you. Middle of the night, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, your eyes are open. Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali used to say, when bed bugs are biting you, and now it's itching and you are scratching, it's actually the alarm clock of Allah to wake you up. It's time to get up. When a person really needs sleep, he's in a deep sleep, he doesn't feel the mosquitoes biting him. But now when he's that deep sleep which he really needed, when that is finished, now he'll start feeling it. So it's time for you to get up now. So Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali say, my alarm clock are the bed bugs. They wake me up now. I must stand in front of Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, so when your eyes open, a door barking, a dog barking, or some door banging, it wasn't closed properly, that noise, when you wake up with that, it is that Allah is telling you, I'm remembering you and you sleeping. I'm remembering you, I'm thinking of you, you also wake up and think of me. Hazrat says, get up, make wudu, make namaz, make dua. If you haven't got so much courage, then do. If you don't make wudu, you don't make namaz, just get up and use your begging bowl which is with you. Just sit up 1 minute, make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Then just put your two hands together, is your begging bowl. And if you haven't got that amount of courage also, at that time make a dua to Allah. Allah woke you up, that ask me, that I want to give you. So ask. Ask for whatever you want to at that time. And the main things to ask are about deen, about akhirat. That is what a person should beg to Allah Ta'ala. And then when we put our begging bowl together, how Allah Ta'ala made it. That Maulana Abrar al-Haqsab Rahmatullah Ali used to say, the hand should be just in front of the chest, where your button is, your number 2 button in front of there. And the two hands must not be joined. They must be a little bit separate. So this bowl here is like a broken bowl. So Allah Ta'ala, so to say, also see, it's a broken bowl. If I'll put little, everything will fall out. So let me put lot in that bowl. And when we wipe our hands, by our action, we are saying, بَزُبَانِ حَالِ وَجَدْنَا مَا طَلَبْنَا. What we ask, we got it already. Like when you ask poor people, who in many cultures, when you give them something, they put it on their head. In others, so the face is the most honorable. So you put it here, Ya Allah, I got it already. And Allah is so kareem that my banda say, I got it already, and I'm not giving it to him. Just let me give it to him. Like a child begging of the mother, father for something. And we see they're not giving. Then the child uses lot of tricks with how they use their brains and tells the mother, Jazakallah, you gave me what I wanted, my shoes, my whatever I wanted. Now the heart just melts when he's saying already Jazakallah in advance, let me give him what he wants to. Allah, who is can be Kareem like Allah Ta'ala? Kareem Allah Ta'ala is Alladhi yu'ti bidun istihqaq, who gives, we are not fit for anything. We are not fit in the least, but Allah. Alladhi yu'ti biduni sawali wa minnatin. Without us asking him. Without us begging from him. Alladhi yu'ti fawqa ma natamanna bihi. More than what we have hope, Allah gives more than that. Nobody had even the hope of being born and coming in this world. Allah didn't only put us here, but he gave us eyes, he gave us brains, he gave us a heart. What and what Allah Ta'ala hasn't given us. And Allah gives us more than what we can imagine also. Alladhi yu'ti biduni khawfin ayyanfada ma indahu. When Allah gives, Allah doesn't have to work on a budget. Like people, very rich people also, Ramzan, they know now people are going to come for collections. All masjids, madrasa people are going to come. So they have to budget. So the first day, they can't give everything. They know that person, he always comes 15 Ramzan. That one always comes 28 Ramzan. So they keep back for them. Allah doesn't have to keep back for anyone. Allah gives how much he wants to who, and Allah's treasures never ever come to an end. So Allah Ta'ala just gives. So when you pick up your hand in front of Allah Ta'ala, that Kareem, and you put your hands in your hands, Allah sees a broken bowl. This beggar has got a broke, and our fingers also we can make out, it's not nicely round. It's all like broken. And here also, there is another very great lesson to learn also. Allah could have made it perfect also. But Allah made it like this, so it looks like a broken bowl. One priest told one alim that the Bible is the true and the correct word of Allah Ta'ala. And the Quran Sharif is man-made. Na'uzubillah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made it, etc. And the reason he gave for that in the Bible, whatever subjects come, everything of that subject is in one place. It's not in some here, some there. It's nicely arranged, written down nicely. And in the Quran Sharif, the subject matter is all spread out. Like inheritance, yusikumullah. Then again in six supara again. Many other masalas were there, and therefore never make the mistake of just picking the Quran Sharif one ayat and giving a fatwa on that. Everyone becomes a mufti. Hey, like we say that the Jews, Christians will also go to Jannah because we read one ayat. That inna alladhina amanu wal ladhina hadu wan nasara wasabin man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir fala khawfun alayhim falahum ajrun inda rabbihim. But we don't see the other ayats, that those who don't. So you need the whole Quran Sharif. So all masail of the Quran Sharif are not put in one place. So that he say, you can see that is haphazard. So mashallah, that alim told him that if you go outside in the world, in the jungle, wherever, you see that what man has made, gardens, they plant all the daffodils together, they plant all these flowers together, all arranged properly. And what is natural, you find everything scattered about. And wherever you go. So what is natural from Allah, that is the Quran Sharif. And man made it, he made it everything in order like this. So anyway, we were saying about the hands also, they are all like it's a broken bowl, this hands. So Allah Ta'ala made it like that. It looks like a broken bowl. When you beg also, and you got a broken bowl, you're a beggar also, and your begging bowl is also a broken one. You realize more that you are nothing. You have got nothing whatsoever. Then Allah Ta'ala made it. If you pick up your hands, see in your right hand that what is written there. There is a number in Arabic. 18. And in your left one? So from the Allah's whose 99 treasures are open. So when you have picked up your hand, the 99 treasures of Allah are open towards you. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, like you have a switchboard. And in there you press one button, then you see that light goes on. You press this button, that door opens up. All different what it controls, all the things. So like that, whichever name of Allah you press on, you take the name of that Allah. That the tajalli of that is focused on you. Like Ya Razzaq, you read. Oh, the one who gives rozi. Allah's sifat and tajalli of risk falls on you. Ya Ghaffaru, the one who forgives. Allah's tajalli of forgiveness falls on you. So 99 buttons Allah gave you to press here now. And you can ask from Allah Ta'ala. And if you subtract 18 from 81, what do you get? 63. Do it in the persons whose life was 63 years old. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnat lifestyle. Bring that sunnat lifestyle in you and beg of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And when you have finished beg, adab of begging, you wipe your hands on your face. So in other words, you are saying, wajadna ma talabna. So Allah ta'ala has given this, that, and it is for this reason, as Hazrat Ahmed rahmatullah alayhi's one beautiful poem, Khirat mehwa hayrate us zuban se, that brains are astonished of that tongue jo bayan karti hai aahu fuga se, that makes bayan not from kitabs and big lectures and big jawbreakers and big philosophical discussions, but from the heart, the feeling and the love of the heart. With that person who makes bayan, lughat ta'bir karti hai maani, languages, dictionaries tells you the meanings of words. Muhabbat kehti hai dil ki kahani. But love tells you the story of the heart. So now, when you understand the Quran Sharif according to love of Allah Ta'ala, then you'll have a complete different understanding. Like for example, when a person doesn't have that understanding, he hasn't got love of Allah, he's empty of ishq and love of Allah Ta'ala, then the laws of the capital crimes, punishments to cut hands, etc., appears to be barbaric. But Hadrat explains, Allahu Akbar, that the actual understanding and the proper understanding, that we gave you a royal bowl to beg from our treasures. You just lift up your hand and you take from Allah Ta'ala. So we gave you a bowl that you could take treasures from there. But instead of that, you used your hand to go and steal from somebody. A person, what has somebody got? Whatever, how rich he can be, how much compared to Allah, is nothing, zero what the person has got. And this example Hazrat gives, Allahu Akbar, like the state, the prime minister of the country, state president, he's campaigning, for example, to get votes. And while he's on his campaigning trail, he sees one person who's selling potatoes, onions on the pavement, on the footpath. And he goes there and he steals 2-3 potatoes and he puts it in his pocket. The state president stealing from the person who's selling some potatoes, onions on this, on the footpath, that poor man, and the state president stealing from him. How can, now when you steal from somebody else, you, every person is a state president in the eyes of Allah. And Allah opened his treasures for you. You must take from his treasures. But now you went steal from some creation, from somebody else you went and steal, you must use this royal bowl we gave you. So first Allah gives you a warning that half of the bowl will take away. One hand is cut. Now you only got half a bowl to ask. And if you still don't use that half bowl also to take from Allah, and when Allah beg of Allah, he will give you sooner or later. And when he will give you, he won't disgrace you and humiliate you. Yeah, in this dunya, you can beg from somebody, most cases you get disgraced and humiliated. In any case, you lose your respect and honor when you go and beg. But by Allah you beg, Allah increases you in your respect and honor. Anyone who knows there is a buzurg, mustajabud da'wat, the world fall at his feet. Anyone know this person gets up for tahajjud, and he makes dua, and he cries in his dua, at tahajjud, the world falls at your feet. You beg from Allah, Allah increases your respect and honor. You're going back from the creation, you get humiliated, you get disgraced also. So always you must beg from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah gave us this hand, and so we can understand, this hands Allah gave us, this begging bowl, to take from Him. And from this also we can understand that du'as are readily accepted after faraiz also. So always pick up your hands and make du'a after faraiz also. There is a different thing. Sometimes you on journey suffer. You're just managing your namaz. That time you don't make du'a. But normally don't follow and don't be influenced by people who don't pick up their hands and make du'a after namaz. That is, we should make du'a. This is the adab of du'a, to pick up one's hands and make the form of a beggar, and Allah loves it. No matter who tells you what, that after Faraz Namaz there is no dua, or you must make dua in your heart or whatever, you don't worry. Allah loves this when Allah, and today we see everywhere where they want to advertise something, Islamic things, then they have a little child putting his hands making dua. Even that they also know, because this attracts the people. Allah loves this very greatly. So Allah has given us, this is the month of duas. So the whole day, iftari time, make dua. Then at night, make dua. Sehri time, particularly, that time, don't just go on our... Iftari time also, we want our food. Sehri time also, we want our food. And we get negligent of dua. Those times, have more attention. And Maulana Saeed Khan Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, said so beautifully. He said that the concentration we got when we eating food, if we had not even 10%, a little bit of that, or when we're making ibadat, namaz, what won't our namazes become? Our food, we see it is such that when we sit down to eat, which I notice when we go with our friends on safar, and then we are all sitting, somebody has invited us, we arranged meals, etc. And now the house people, some people are giving food on the platters. But everyone got so much concentration, they don't even look little bit this way or that way, that this poor man is standing for so long with that platter of food. And sometimes it's a little boy, it's hot for him, it's heavy for him, but nobody gets tawfiq to take it. They are all concentrating on their food. And so much concentration, it can be a long dastarkhan, but from the one end, the person is sitting at that end. As he sits, he looks at the whole dastarkhan. What menu is there? And he makes sure that I mustn't miss one thing also. I must get everything. And when we are eating, the person next to you may be a shy person. His plate is empty. He's shy to ask for something. We don't even look that get something. Or he wants to put the platter down. There isn't place. We won't have tawfiq to make some place for him. So much concentration. If we had little of this concentration in our namaz, how valuable won't our namazes become? So this concentration and dua also is not just learning words. Sunnat words, sunnat duas, Quranic duas, we should learn. But it's not just the words of it. But it is the inside. It's not just the outside capsule, the inside of it. And for dua also, like for zikr also. Zikr, every person must decide for himself when he will make his zikr. And for dua also. But choose a time when you are nice and fresh. And you have got your mind is also fresh. Your body also, you can apply yourself. Because you really have to apply yourself. And in du'as, we saw our buzurgs, how they apply, their whole body shakes. They are crying. They are so involved in it. And it saps your energy completely. And the du'a we make, that we are making a sing-song du'a. Especially after namaz, when the imam is making dua, he is also, and the more better the tune of the in the dua, and he rhymes the words nicely, and he's also moving like this, and he's making dua, that everyone likes a lot. And anyone say that, do not stop the dua, make it silently, people get very cross. Must have that loud dua, Fatiha, and all enjoy that very much. And in that dua, the people also are looking at one another, and they winking eyes also. And some even wave one another while making dua. So what kind dua? Dua, you have to involve yourself. You have to realize, I can't get this from anyone from anywhere else but from Allah. And I have to now sort of, not force, but I would let pressure I have to put on myself. I have to beg and humble myself in front of Allah. That is what is called dua. Otherwise, today, many imams practice their duas also for Khatam Quran Sharif 27 night, other occasions, they practice. And they also practice in there where they're going to cry. Which place that sound of crying sound will come. Or where they're going to, like actually they're going to like tears will come. Or like crying. All that is practice. Rehearsals are done. Dua is not like that. Dua is a earnest thing from the heart. So this is a month of duas also. And duas are readily accepted. And Allah has given. And this year, one person said very beautifully that what you call it, going on journey, that make dua for us. Everyone says it's good to make dua, but the dua, and they ask what you want. They say, what you want? Is duas. Make dua for me. Dua, we say it, but may that reality come into us. Like you are going through immigration at airports, you are going through customs, then nothing can help you. Duas can help you such a way. And for the dua, there is no dua detector stuff. Metal detector you will get, other detectors you will get, but dua detector that you are making dua, nobody can detect. And with that dua, you will be shocked how things change. And just to give you one incident, how many incidents. Once we were coming from the UK, we were leaving now, and through the security we were going, and there was a Muslim girl who was in charge of the security. As we came, she went away. They must have arranged it. Allah knows best. This is all my assumptions. And then we put our bags. It was me, Appa, and it was another white man. So they picked up this bag and they looked at me, your bag, now let's go for checkup. Allah made it. It was the white man's bag. Our bags had gone through already. They planned it. They're going to hassle this man here. That now we're going to give him proper. But our bags were gone through. And then that white man, they did nothing. Okay? So how many cases like that? At immigration, they want to see the face of the woman. Or a check-in. They want to see. When you go there, that person, he says, where's the woman? I have to check. You bring her. Then he gets so busy talking with somebody, he completely forgets about that. Duas work miracles. Yeah. And Allah has given us duas in the month of Ramadan. And also one great thing, once we are also going on safar for Europe safar. So for the visas, it was a straightforward method. The travel agent had to give us some documents. And days were passing and he wasn't giving it. So then the thought came to me, why isn't this work getting done? It's a straightforward thing, nothing so difficult. So then it came to me, gunas cause a blockage. Let me make tawbah istighfar to Allah. So it was 9 o'clock at night. And I started my tawbah istighfar. Hardly little bit I carried on. The phone rang. 9 o'clock. Who? The travel agent. 9 o'clock at night. He told me, all your papers are ready. You can come pick it up tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock at the office. I said, Jazakallah, etc. And then 9 o'clock in the morning, it was delivered to my house. Didn't even have to go and pick it up. So when we find something of ours not working out, realize there is a blockage. And blockage is not from somebody else. It's not the person, you tell this person do that work, that person, just not getting done. It's from Allah Ta'ala. And the blockage is from our side. Our gunas come in between. So tawbah, istighfar is loved by Allah. And that dua also first with the praises of Allah Ta'ala. Durood on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then in between, the admittance of our weakness and our faults. And till a person doesn't realize I'm 100% useless. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali used to take qasam and say, I take myself as the worst in the whole world. Not only the words of it, it starts with the words, but don't only stay to the words. Go to forward and the reality, not just accept yourself, realize you are the worst. Allah loves that person. And a person who feels little, I'm somebody, I'm a maulana, I'm the imam, I do this, I do that, I got this or something, that person. So, to be humbleness, Allah Ta'ala loves very greatly. And what is that? Jahe? Taqwa se phir? What's the starting of it? that a person who is an abid or muttaqi, the taqwa, if the taqwa brought pride in you, that I'm a very muttaqi person, I never commit guna, I don't look at woman, that, and there is a woman who sells herself. That's her business, unfortunately, but she's crying to Allah Ta'ala. She is better than this person who appears to be a muttaqi. That person who cries to Allah Ta'ala, I'm a sinner. What bad gunas I'm committing. Such a terrible sin I'm committing. I'm so bad. But when she feels that lowness in her, that Allah loves so much, then that person who is a muttaqi, but pride came in him, that Allah Ta'ala dislikes. So we should turn to Allah Ta'ala, beg of Him. So Allah has given us in this month, it is the month of Ramadan. The month itself is a blessed, great, great month. In this month, Allah gave us the Quran Sharif again. What a month. And we see the natural inclination of the ummah, no matter how less it may be, but fi nafsihi in its own, how much of Quran is being recited in the world. How much it should be much more. But even then, how much? Even those who only read 2 suparas for the whole month. But out of the month of Ramadan, they don't even read 2 lines. But Ramadan, they read 2 suparas. So how much of Quran Sharif every person is reading? And if we think any person, the most that a person knows off by heart is Quran Sharif, a Muslim. Even if he's a lot in academic, so dunya's education, he knows a lot of things. But what he knows the most, even if he knows 3 surahs, 4 surahs, he knows 10 surahs from Alam Tara, the most that he knows off by heart is Quran Sharif. Allah has given this maqam to his Quran. So Quran, the month of Ramadan, the month of Quran Sharif. Then rozas in this month, rozas, fasting, out of the month of Ramadan also are so valuable. A person keeps Monday, Thursday rozas, keeps 3 rozas a month, etc. Nafil rozas, extra rozas, they also, and that rozas in the month of Ramadan again, they are even much, much more valuable. So much ulama have written that your whole life you can keep roza, it can't equal the one roza of Ramadan. Ramadan's rozas, the value of Ramadan's roza, and you want to, like that buzur who must his namaz with Jamaat and repeated his namaz 27 times. So then he, in his dream, it was told to him, you have repeated yourself, because for Jamaat namaz you get 27 times more sawab, 25 times more sawab. But what you're going to do about the Ameen of the Farishta? That when the Imam says Waladhalin, then you say Ameen, and whose Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the Farishta? What a great, your du'as are accepted at that time. So rozas also in the month of Ramadan. Then after rozas Allah gave us, and roza is a purifier. Physically also, spiritually also it's a purifier. Quran also purifies you. Now you just read without understanding also. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi saw Allah Ta'ala in a dream and asked what is the most fastest way, easiest way, strongest way to reach you. Allah said Quran Sharif. He asked with understanding, without. Allah said both ways. Even without understanding, this is the miracle of the Quran Sharif. It will purify you. How much you will read Quran Sharif, you will get purified, and you will get the teachings of the Quran without you realizing. It will come into you. Like to speak the truth, like to be regular with namaz, to guard your gazes, etc. All these basic ibadat will bring it in you. Zikr will bring it into you. A person, in the hadith Qudsi, that a person doesn't gain closeness to me by anything more than that which I have made farz upon him. And in that, and then he draws closeness to me by nawafil. So by nawafil, until I become his eyes by which he sees. One of the correct explanation, now his eyes are only used to see right thing. The other correct explanation, Allah puts barakat in his eyes. Whatever his eyes fall on, barakat comes in there. Stone turns into gold. A barakat in his hands. Whatever he touches, barakat. And we know in the ummah till today it is, who we regard as buzurgs, we want them to come to our houses. us. We want them to come to our businesses because that barakat, you yourself become a buzurg. And wherever you are, barakat will be with you all the time. And our deen is not you only all the time you run after buzurgs, but the real buzurg is who makes you a buzurg. And you become a buzurg. And these things and this barakat of Allah Ta'ala comes with you. So you don't remain that buzurg who only booze and ruak. Booze, he only drinking all the time. And ruak, smoking all the time. Buzurg. Buzurg. No, don't. You become also a genuine buzurg. You don't have to all the time just give hadiah and duas and bribe the buzurg to come to your house and make dua. You yourself become a buzurg. And the simple way, observe the laws of Allah Ta'ala and do all these ibadat. So Allah gave us these nawafil also in the month of Ramadan. Allah gave us these duas also in the month of Ramadan. It is a month when the shayateen are also all chained. It is a month when hearts have been made soft. Everyone's heart becomes soft in Ramadan also. So Allah has given us not one, two things. Such a month, there is another month like this where Allah has put everything together for us. And if we also consider, this is really like the pinnacle, the cherry on the top, that in Rajab, which is the month of Mi'raj of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah gave us namaz. And namaz is your direct link with Allah, directly. Then in Shaban, Allah gave us to clean our hearts, to make tawbah and istighfar, the night of purification, the night of bara'at, to come out of all your dirt and filth and become clean. Then Allah gave us the month of Ramadan. Now where you reach? Immediately when the moon is sighted for Eid, we get happy that it's Eid now. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayhi used to say, my happiness is that now the mawsam has started, mawsam of Hajj, Shawwal, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah. This is the season of Hajj, when now Allah is calling the people, now you have done everything, now I'm calling you to my house now. And now you come to Kaaba Sharif. The Hajj means intention. Intention of Kaaba. That you come to my house now. And then Allah Ta'ala takes you on what an excursion. He takes you to Mina, to Arafat, to Muzdalifah, to Makkah Sharif, back to Mina again. And what an occasion. So now where a Muslim reaches. So the pinnacle on it is this month of Ramadan. Purify ourselves. And every type of ibadat Allah has put into this month of Ramadan, and make shukr that Allah gave it to us ready on the plate. And then again, Allah's great fazl by the barakat of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayh and our Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmahullah ta'ala, Allah gave us such a Ramadan which is filled with islah also. Otherwise, normally in many khanqahs, it is mainly the main emphasis is on zikr. Yeah, or the zikr, that is the highlight of the khanqah. But yeah, it is on the islah of a person. That we, and this is in conformity with the Quran Sharif. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Many of us, we like, even if you go to a khanqah or anyone where all the zikr takes place. In fact, how many people say that certain communities, they like music lot. So go there and start zikr with those people. They'll easily fall into line. Like mashallah, Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, in Durban area, also a lot they like ashar, naat and all zikr they like. So therefore, through that Allah gave him, mashallah, lot of people made tawbah, came right. So there are many people who like the zikr and the loud zikr, like the dua also they like loud. Then it goes into more things also. All this loud and all in chorus and everyone feels nice. Whether then you watch TV the rest of the time, doesn't matter. Whether you don't maintain parda, but your zikr and all that, your dressing doesn't change. You're just doing all that, just that zikr, and you feel happy. Whereas zikr, if it's done properly also, zikr is enough to make a islah for a person. As Khaja Sahib rahmatullah Ali has written, zikr zakir ko mazkur tak ponchata hai. That zikr takes the one who makes zikr zikr to the one whose zikr he's making to Allah Ta'ala. And when you have reached Allah, that means your islah is made. But that is on condition we make zikr properly. Which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali say, many people whole life they make zikr. Neither is the guidance given from the Shaykh also how you should make your zikr. Just zikr is being made. And neither do we also have that urge to learn that how must I make my zikr properly. So Hadrat says, for two main reasons, some people whole life they make zikr, but they don't reach the shore. They don't reach where they have to reach. And those two, one is they not regular with their zikr. Or when they feel like, when they're in a mood, they make some zikr. Otherwise, they don't make zikr. And the other is, they don't make ashiqana, walihana, zikr with the love of Allah. They're only making zikr to complete numbers. Whether it's 120,000, whether it's bara tasbih, whether it's whatever, only we want to complete numbers. But when you connect yourself with Allah, and this connection, Allahu Akbar is a dua in the hadith, which Hazrat Rahimullah taught us. Allahumma ftah aqfal qulubina bi dhikrik. Dua of the hadith. What is the translation? Oh Allah, open the locks of our heart by your zikr. So from this hadith that says, it's clear that there are locks on your heart. And not kufal, akfal. Not one lock, plenty locks. Then Hazrat poses a question, where does a person put the locks? Where there is valuables, where there is treasures. That is where there is something. So that locks are on the heart, that means there is a treasure in the heart. And how to open, what's the keys of those locks where there is a treasure, is the zikr. Allahumma ftah aqfal qulubina bi dhikrik, with your zikr. Those are the keys that will open. And every kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitra. Every child is born on the natural path of Islam. To open it up, the adhan which is given in the right ear and the takbir in the left ear, the zikr opens that up. And now takes out that treasure which is there. Otherwise it remains covered. And the person in a Jewish house remains as a Jew. In a Christian house remains as a Christian. Because the treasure wasn't taken out. And this is the small storeroom. The big storeroom is the treasure, the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ. Your rosy is not here on the earth. It is by Allah Ta'ala. And وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. There isn't anything but the treasures are by us. And when a person says La ilaha illallah, which is afzalu zikr, the best of zikr, then this zikr goes direct to the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And it opens up the treasures there. And then, this is not part of the hadith, Hadrat used to say, make this tasawwur, this muraqabah, that a noor from the arsh of Allah, column of this noor, now you are taking from the treasure. Now make your muraqabah, what you want to take. Allah has opened His treasures for you. And those treasures will come into your heart. From the big storeroom into the small storeroom. And from here you want to take, again make zikr, tilawat of Quran, zikrullah, these treasures will come out. So Allah has opened the treasures of His to everyone. And everyone can take from there. And there is no limit how much you can take. You can keep on taking from there. And Allah's treasures will never get finished also. And Allah gives them abundantly. Also, the best time in the world, people of dunya, their office hours, government offices, other big offices, normally from 9 to 3, 9 to 4, that is the office hours. Allah's office hours are 24 hours. It's not 9 to 4, 24 hours. And like if you go 9 o'clock in the morning, they say we're still just opening up, we're putting our things right. Come after 1 hour. If you go 3 o'clock, they say we're closing, now you must come tomorrow. Computers are down, you must come tomorrow. Allah's hours are 24 hours. And Allah's best hours are 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And when you so to say phone by Allah, you just put your hands together, you don't need airtime. Your battery doesn't have to be fully charged. You don't have to have reception or anything. You just put your hands together direct to Allah Ta'ala. And when you have, so to say, phoned Allah, Allah hasn't kept a secretary who will take the calls. Allah takes all the calls himself personally. Whoever makes dua, the whole world. And then Allah hasn't got a pre-recorded message there that for English press 1, for Arabic press 2, for Afrikaans press 3, whichever language. And you got no language. You're a dumb person. You can't speak. Allah will hear you more better also. And if you're a deaf person, you can't hear. Allah will make you hear more better than the people with ears also. So you make your connection with Allah. So that is 2-3 o'clock. The whole month of Ramadan, 24 hours is like that. Allah's office hours are very much open. Like many people say, if you want work to get done from any government office, just do it before elections. And just tell them, we'll vote for you, but condition, you do this work for us, for our community, for me, you do this work. Allah Ta'ala, this is the season. This is the time you take from Allah. Allah is giving abundantly. So appreciate this month in every way. It is a month of, it is the great month of Ramadan. Even if Quran was not revealed, even if there weren't rozas, Ramadan was a plan, then Quran is revealed. What a kitab. Meditate, think about all the great virtues of the Quran. Then rozas, and the first rozas of Ramadan. Then again, du'as in this month Allah has given. Then Allah has given us this, our islah to be made, to acquire, to get the golden pot of taqwa. That is why all this year. And if we get that, so just apply ourselves, and Allah is Kareem. Just beg of Him, He will definitely give you. He won't let you go deprived. Allah is that being that وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أستجب without fussel. You make dua, I will accept. Well, 100% Allah Ta'ala will accept. So this is that month that your duas will be accepted. This is that there is no doubt in it that your duas will be accepted. So we just make that little effort. And Allah Ta'ala is not such that that after you try sincerely, He'll deprive you. Allah will give you more than what you can expect. Just apply ourselves. Make shukr also, and make have Hajat of Allah. Make Salatul Hajj shukr also, Salatul Hajj also, that Ya Allah bless me. So in this gathering here, and really as many Saatis have seen, that this is like the gathering of Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah. And it's all the barakat of our Shaykh. Allah has brought us to such a place. Appreciate it. And everything is put together, where there is dua also, there is zikr also, there is tafsir also, there is islah also, islah of all the type. Make shukr to Allah and apply ourselves. We will get something very great from Allah Ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.